You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast. It is the big one. It is the Manx. It is on Sunday, 4:30 kickoff at Anfield. It's going to be an absolute fucking massive game. I can't wait for it. And yeah, I'm Mick, as always, and I'm joined, as always, by Christian to get fully stuck into these. How are you feeling, lad?
Good. Having a good feeling about it. I know people talking about, you know, these kind of games always, you know, get a bit of nerves and stuff, and obviously we'll have a few, but you know, I fancy us in this game, looking at form, looking at potential starting lineup and all that kind of stuff. So bring them on. Let's make it fucking, you know, Erik ten Hag, to be honest. So you know, 10 goals, 10-0, fucking new record, and just fucking give it. I don't want to give him the boot. I want them to, you know, keep him. But it's nice when it's actually us getting managers to sack, to be honest.
Yeah, I think any manager, but when it's a Man United manager, it is even better. So it's like Mourinho in the past, there's been a few others, hasn't he? Where it's been like the last nail in the coffin was getting beat by Liverpool, and then they get sacked. I hope we batter them. I hope they don't sack him, because I've seen loads of people online Klopp finished seventh, then he finished fifth, then he finished, I don't know the exact figures or whatever, but like people just basically saying, oh, Klopp did this year one, then he did this year two, then he did this year three, and then like, oh, Arteta did this, and then it's like, well, why are we talking about that when they've spent like $2 billion and they're still shit. It's funny, isn't it?
Exactly. You know, it's all about the progress, though. Like, you can even see the first game. It's obviously, it's a bit of, like, too much of an example, but you could see in the first game, the club took over, that, you know, something changed straight away after Brendan Rodgers and all that. So, and from there, he took us to the Europa League final. Obviously, we lost that. But, you know, from there, we could see changes, and we can see a new total style of football. Everyone got into it. So everything is about that. You know, people still question Erik ten Hag and about what the identity of Man United is and how, exactly. what do they want, what kind of football do they want to play. You know, you hear it every fucking, you know, week in and week out from, you know, Gary Neville, Jamie Carragher in the overlap or whatever. They talk about Man United and what do they want, how are they going to play and all that. So that's the thing. Now he's been... I can't remember how long he's been in Man United, but anyway, he's been there quite long. He spent loads of money and is still really poor. So that's the thing. Klopp took us, you know, forward all the time. And since then, obviously, won everything. And we never looked back, really.
Yeah, I think you could see day one, like first game, you could see like, oh, we're gonna run as much as we can. That was the identity. Closed down, heavy metal football, whatever they called it, which I know Klopp hates that when people mention that, but that's kind of what it was. It was full throttle. Everyone ran their ass off basically to cover the space and to block passing lanes, and there was a clear identity. Whereas with them, I mean, it is funny that when you watch them. I mean, like when you look at the league table, like we've said this for a few weeks, like that 27 points, they're in sixth. It's not actually that bad, really, when you look at it. But I feel like that they're like fixture list and whatever. I feel like this going into December and going into January, I think hopefully they'll start to get even worse. I think they even like the getting knocked out of the Champions League by Munich. The last game, they got battered by Bournemouth, which was just absolutely fucking glorious. I feel like it's, I don't know if it's like this beginning of the end for Ten Hag, or they're gonna be like, oh, we've kept doing that for ages now. We're gonna keep him, and I hope it's the latter. To be fair,
yeah, and you know, it's just one of them where you look at Klopp and his first time in Liverpool, and you can tell straight away the players were, you know, on board straight away to fight for him, run for him, and he just have that personality where you. I think he's that kind of leader who just makes you want to, you know, perform. He just want to, you know, like Bill Shankly used to say, obviously, you know, you're going to run through a brick wall for Liverpool wearing that shirt. And for me, kind of that way, I think that's how players look at Klopp. And when they, you know, talk to him about what he wants with Liverpool and where he want to go and where he wants a player in a team, you know, when he's signing players or whatever, that's the way. And that's how they feel when they're going to play for us and come to wear the red shirt. And I don't know about Erik ten Hag, you know, I don't want to be too disrespectful if you want to be a little bit professional, to be honest, but I don't get the feeling that the players are feeling that kind of thing, because some managers just have that aura. Mourinho is a, you know, weird one, but he used to have it in Chelsea in his first period there. Like they were brilliant. Obviously they bought loads of players because of the money and stuff, but he brought them all together, made a team out of them and made them really, really good. Some managers just have that kind of way with them where players are just like, fucking, I adore you. I'm going to do everything for you. And Klopp has that. And, you know, Erik ten Hag doesn't. So I guess.
I'm lucky.
Yeah. But, you know, in the long term, it's like you said, it's hard because are we seeing the end of him, you know, in Man United? And we obviously want to see, you know, him being there, you know, contract, long-term contract, please. But, you know, if you're going to look at it a little bit seriously, it might be they say that we win 3-4-0 and they're shit. You know, they just went out of Champions League, being at the bottom of the table there, just not playing in Europa, you know, even more, or Europa League, I meant, or Conference League, whatever. But then also you look at, you know, losing at home against Bournemouth, losing away at Liverpool. Obviously, you can expect it nowadays because it's that kind of difference between the teams. But if you get that, like last time was 7-0, obviously. If you get like 3-4-0 this time, you know, you're looking at the latest records of games and how many goals they conceded and what games they actually lost. Any other manager would be up for the sack, and I guess he would be as well. And I've seen rumours today on Twitter saying they even looking at Graham Potter, to be honest, you know, to take over. How much, you know, seriousness there is in that, I don't know. But it's just one of them where you start to think, like, might there be something if we actually beat them where he's actually gone? I don't know.
Yeah, I think getting beat 3-0 by Bournemouth, then following it up with I watched the game against Bayern. They're just a poor side. They're missing loads of players, which we'll get onto in a minute, which I guess has to be factored in, but wasn't factored in when we had fucking 12 people out. No one gave everyone was just like, oh, just crack on with it, lads. Injuries are part of the game, yada, 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 whatever. But they were just... They were shit against Bayern as well, and they went out with a whimper, bottom of the table, and it's like, fucking hell, it's just like... And then Newcastle do it as well, and you're like, this is like... I just wish Liverpool, you're watching them sides get like finishing bottom of the group scene. Like, I just wish Liverpool were a little bit better last year for a longer time. Would have been the Champions League now and whatever. Just would have been easily got through the group with the way we've been playing and whatever. But I guess that's can't change the past, unfortunately. But it's just looking at them sides, you're like, yeah, you're clearly not made for the Champions League. You're just at a mad level where you can be good some games and not so much other games. But we don't actually spend that usually that much time spending about talking about opposition, but I think this one deserves it a little bit because, like we said, we battered them 7-0 last year. The whole build up to that was mad because the clip I love is where Neville's talking to Souness and he's like, These are tough fellas and all that, and they're going to stand up to the task, and I've never been this confident in 7 years and all this shit he's saying. I'm like, yeah, at the time, I understand the feeling because, like, the way like we were going into it and the way they were going into it, and then for us to batter them 7-0, it couldn't have happened to a better bunch of people and a better team to kind of go in there and absolutely tank them. But then when you factor in like the 3-0 against Bournemouth and like going out the Champions League and all that, and then the injury list as well, which is quite considerable. We were talking about it before we started recording. When you're looking, and this is just off live score, I'll read out the list. So on live score, it's Martinez, Casemiro, Diallo, Martial, Eriksen, Maguire, obviously Sancho's not there, Shaw, Rashford, Mount, Malacia, Lindelof, and then Fernandez disciplinary because of yellow card. So yeah, it's a hefty list, but if she was on the other foot, they'd be looking at that going, this side that's going to get put out this weekend is going to be severely depleted, but if that doesn't matter, let's just go there and absolutely hammer them, because that, like, all the names I've just mentioned there would probably start, so they're going to be severely depleted even more than they would be anyway, having Ten Hag in charge and having a shit team and a shit fan base and all that to go along with it. But I think that makes it even more interesting because they're going to be fully up for it because of those. I think like even like the Crystal Palace game where they, like I mentioned in that show, where when you've got players out, it might where did they again galvanize? It might galvanize them a little bit more to be a bit more defensively sound or whatever. Hopefully not, probably not, but I think that's, I guess, something that we've got to look at to exploit that at this time and just proper go for it.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, looking at their injury list and potential injuries and players out, obviously if they come, you know, with, you know, players that are not playing usually for them in starting 11, but, you know, come to Anfield, you know, be solid and all that kind of stuff, I guess, you know, we got a proper chance here to actually give them hell, to be honest, because if we're putting out our best team at home at Anfield with, you know, the most crowd at Anfield since, I don't know, the 60s or 70s or whatever, I can't remember what I read, but, you know, since the Wolves came back. Yeah, so, yeah. You know, we look at that as well, which will give us a boost, and we know that they have injuries. We know that they are, you know, they lost against Bayern Munich, went out of Europe. They lost against Bournemouth at home. You know, they are in a moment where it's not very good, you know, in terms of self-confidence and where they are at the moment. They're not in a form. All that kind of stuff obviously gives us positive vibes. And you can't underestimate anything, obviously, because it's still this, you know, big game. But, you know, we got so many opportunities in this fixture that we, you know, can't look away from in terms of the quality that we have compared to their team and with all the injuries and all that kind of stuff. So I'm just very much looking forward to this game because I think if we go out there and just, you know, like you said, give them hell, just give, you know, go at them straight away, it could easily be a 3-4-0, to be honest. And I don't want to be there, you know, oh, it's going to be easy, because it's never easy, but I can see that we got all these opportunities to actually take this game to our place and make it the way we want to and give them something that, you know, that they can't stop.
Yeah, it's on us, and I think that you've also got a factor in that we've been winning games, but we've not been very good recently. I feel like that's something that we've said in the last show, it needs to change. And what better way to kind of get yourself back on track in terms of performances in a game like this where everyone's got to be up for it. And like you said, in front of the highest capacity for over for 50 years, 57,000 they're going to be in the ground on Sunday, which, an extra 7,000 people in there, that makes a lot of difference. There's 7,000 more voices in there. You can make the voices heard and to make that atmosphere even more louder than it would be. And I love that it's 4:30 as well, because I'm sick of these games when they're like 12:30, and we know 12:30 is everyone's half asleep. The players are, the fans are, and whatever, and it's understandable. But 4:30 is a perfect time where everyone's had plenty of time, a few bevies in town, get yourself down to the match, have a bevy in the ground, and then crack on. But again, it's it's just exciting, isn't it? Because like something like that, like extra fans in the stadium is going to be huge. Not even just for this game, though. For this is the first game. It's going to be like that. But for the rest of the season as well, I think it's coming like a perfect time for us, because we've got this, and then we've got West Ham, we've got Arsenal, and then there's obviously loads more games coming up as well, where those like small percentages of having more on the ground can definitely help.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, we look at the Premier League fixtures. If we look away from West Ham being a cup game, you know, we've got Man United at home, we've got Arsenal at home, and with, you know, there 7,000 more people in the stands, that would be, you know, big boost for us. And I think, you know, with these two games, I'm really excited, because that could make such an great impact and a big, you know, how we look at it when we come back after these two games. If we can get the points from there, it could be such a big change in everything. So, you know, this game against Man United, they're always big. You know, like 7-0 last time, and when I was over, when we went to a game, I can't remember if it was, yeah, 4-0. And, you know, we've been so good against them in the last few years. Obviously, we lost, I think, away. You know, last season where we were really poorly, and you know, you go into Old Trafford, even though they are not the best team anymore, it's a tough place to go. But you know, playing them at home with more fans in the stands, and all the, you know, what I said before, with all the injuries they have and the form and everything, it's just one of them where, you know, you can't look at it in another way than, this is one up for the grabs. Because all the games in the past against Man United will be like, oh, this will be a very tough one. And now I'm actually looking at them like they could be any fucking team in the bottom half and be like, yeah, I'm not, you know, it's just actually the name Manchester United and the badge that, you know, looks like, oh, it's a, and obviously, yes, they are a world, you know, known big club. I don't, you know, say anything else because that would be stupid. But at the moment, it's just actually the name. Just being Manchester United, it's like, oh, but looking at the team, it's about, well, you know, they're not better than fucking Everton, to be honest. You know, if Everton didn't have their 10 points taken off them, they would be, you know, now with their form actually doing quite well, it wouldn't be long off them, to be honest, and stuff like that. So at the moment, it's just like, just go and give them hell, like I said, because I don't think there's been a better opportunity playing them than now, to be honest. Like, even in the past when we played them, we battered them 7-0, they still had good players. But this is, when you look at it, this is an opportunity where I just wanted us to go out there and do our job, because, and how we do it at home as well. So it's just one of them. I know that we had in our group chat some people saying, you know, oh, is it only me, you know, feeling a bit nervy about this game and stuff? And I understand that. Yeah, it's normal, because that's what you're used to against them. But I said something about, I'm actually not nervous. I'm more excited, because I just feel that we are so much better at the moment. And obviously, you can never say it's going to be, like I said, easy. They can go and give us, you know, an upset at home. That can happen. But the odds are obviously with us. I just feel that this is a moment where if we go and win this against Man United, which is the biggest rivals, one of the biggest games in world football, and we continue our form, and actually, because we haven't played well away, but we still won. But if we can continue the form at home, going forward, winning against Man United comfortably and, you know, solid, and showing everyone else that we actually are the business this season, those kind of wins can take us somewhere, and that can mean something at the end of the season as well. So, you know, that's the thing.
Yeah, and when you look at the home table, like seven games, seven wins, plus 16 goal difference. So the home form has not been an issue. And I think that the away form is steadily getting better with the Palace and the recent results. That's steadily, we're third in the away table, if you're interested, which is, I mean, you need to be top of both of them if you want to be in a chance to win the Premier League. So we're getting there. But you know what I loved as well? You were like talking about them, and you were like, oh yeah, they've got a massive fan base, and being respectful. And I said before, they've got a shit manager and they've got a shit fan base.
No, I didn't mean like a fan base. I mean, like, they are a big club, obviously, in world football. You can't take that away from them. But at the moment, they are, you know, they're not in a good place, and you know, fans are upset. They, you know, you're looking at so many things that connect to Man United on Twitter, because it's just a laugh. You know, you don't want to be bothered with them and taking your time of the day, because you always want to be focusing on Liverpool. But there's so many good things to laugh about when you look like online and this, you know, because they are in, what do you call it, like a mental breakdown. That's where they are at the moment. And because they ruined, and I know you've said it as well, they ruined our childhood in one way, exactly. in terms of football, because they won everything. They were always great. They had great players, and you can't take that away from them. Because in one way, I respect what, you know, Ferguson did and how he built teams, because it was in a correct way compared to City and Chelsea and all the other rest of them. You know, so I always respect that, and that's why I call them, you know, the biggest rivals, because I think what they did in the past compared to what we do now, it's the same. You know, you're building success by doing it the right way in terms of rules and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, you look at them now, they are shit. And it's so fun to watch all these fans, especially the huge one. They are, you know, famous fans online, just having a mental breakdown. Yeah, it's brilliant. And obviously it's because of the times of the day when you got all the online things going on. You didn't have that 15, 20 years ago. But, you know, it's a laugh. And I love to take part of it because... It just gives me joy to be one of them. It's like, yeah, we're so much better than you at the moment, and hopefully we'll be for another 5-10 years, because at the moment you're so shit, so I will just laugh at you. So let's take a moment and laugh at Man United.
Well, it is, because if you grew up in the 90s like we did, then it was miserable, because they just won everything. And every time, I mean, every time we played them and we weren't that good and they were boss, they only ever beat us by like a one or two goals. I first feel like we all...
And even if... Sorry to interrupt, but even if we played them and won with Danny Murphy free kicks or goals, you know... And,
yeah.
Exactly. They still won like the Premier League because they were so that good. So we had that game and we were happy about it because we beat Man United. It could be home or it could be away, but they still won trophies. So that's the thing.
That was the main thing. Yeah, of course. Yeah. And that was why, one of the reasons why like those wins are so celebrated, because it was like, oh, we didn't like do much else in the season and in the Premier League season those years. But yeah. If you get a win over United, that was always a good point. I guess like last year where we didn't have that good of a season, but we battered them 7-0. I think that was like, I think you said that would always be the season that we battered them 7-0. Because like you said, those clips that you can get, like there's one I particularly love where it's like, it's all of them. It's like Goldbridge and a couple of the others. And like just reacting to each goal as they go in. And it's just like, I watched that again earlier today. I'm obsessed with it. I fucking love that video. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, search for it, it's boss. But yeah, it's that, and that's what makes it. Because I feel like all those injuries, that all the players that they're going to be missing, whatever, and because they're Man United and they can't, like they can't come to Anfield and sit back. Because I think that's what they'd like to do. They'd love to do that, especially with the injuries they've got. And they might do it a little bit more because they've got so many. But they, in theory, they can't come to our ground and put 10 men behind the ball and do like what Palace would do or Fulham would do and whatever, because their fans would just not get on board with that. And their manager probably wouldn't be a fan of doing that anyway. But I just think it's interesting, because we struggle against teams that do that, and if they're showing energy and fight, like we saw in recent games where we've not been that great, if you show a bit of fight and determination, you can make us struggle a little bit. But I feel like this one hopefully is one where they try and come out and try and nick a goal, and then once we get one, then they start to roll in. I mean, I'm just living the dream now. I'm dreaming it in my mind exactly how it's gonna go, and it might go completely wrong. It might. I'm saying there's always, like you said, there's always a chance. It could just be. I mean, but if you ask me now, would you take 1-0? Absolutely, I would, because I feel like any win is, as long as we get 3 points, it's sound. But with the injuries and the way the seasons are going and whatever, I just feel like it's such a massive opportunity for these lads to go, right, these are sore. They need it. They need a performance. They need a draw to be good for them, so that they'd be up for just getting a point and nicking a point and running away with it. But it's such a massive opportunity for these lads to put a marker down and go, right, we're top of the league. Let's go and batter these, and then let's lose this as a little booster for the rest of the season. Because I feel like it can, that stuff like this and games like this can. Elevate your levels even more for the rest of the season, especially in the period of the season that we're in as well.
Totally. Have you got your 7-ups prepared in the fridge?
yeah. You know, I loved all that, like after, and then they were like, you know, it's a fans were like posting like the European Cup, like our European Cup, and like with 7-up on it. I was like, how are you making this into it, like a a joke. Like, you're trying to sarcastically make a joke out of it. And then obviously we got, I think we got beat by, like, was it like Bournemouth or something? And they were like putting like cans of cherry coke on Twitter because like the cherries. I was like, this is embarrassing new levels of you trying to get back at us. You know what I mean? I mean online's a different beast, isn't it? But let's get into the serious stuff and like who's going to start for Liverpool? Because what I always do is I read out the previous Premier League game. So of course we had Alisson back, which, like we said, it was is a massive. A massive boost, actually, to be said on the USG show. It might have been the USG show, sorry. But Alisson being back is absolutely key, and it was key in that Palace game because the save he pulled off and that was just, again, ridiculous. But the team for the Palace game was Alisson, Trent, Kwanzaa, Van Dijk, Tsimikas, Gravenberch, Endo, Szoboszlai, Salah, Nunes and Diaz. What are you thinking for this one? What are you thinking, lad?
Well, I think, you know, we're going to play... obviously, the best team that we have. It looks like, obviously, McAllister is out with that cut and the stitches and everything. I think that was horrible that we heard from Klopp when he said, you know, we went through the muscle down to the bone. I was like, fucking hell. I was fucking hell. I was like, ugh. But anyway, you know, he's very important to us, obviously. But I think, you know, in terms of if we can play Szoboszlai, Gravenberch, and I don't know, maybe Elliot plays, because I think, you know, what Crystal Palace, it's obvious, you know, if you look at the Europa League game with Elliot, he wasn't good. But, you know, I think in Premier League he's been good and he's got the energy. And now with McAllister out, we might, you know, try to do something like that. Or, I don't know, maybe, you know, we play Endo as well because of the defensive role that he plays. It's a tough one when it comes to midfield because you always think Szoboszlai is going to play. I really do want to see Gravenberch because I think he brings something. I've said that before. I think, you know, in terms of being a physical lad and all that, bringing the ball forward, and I think he's good and I think he thrives. And if he can play and get into rhythm, I think that's a good thing. It's just a question of, will he go with like Endo, who's actually a defensive midfielder, or will he maybe play, you know, in a different way? I don't know. But then you come to the front three. I'm sure it will be Diaz, Nunez, Salah. And when it comes to central defenders, I guess Konate's going to go in there with Tsimikas and Trent playing on the other sides of each other, obviously left and right. So, you know, it's the best team that we can get out there with McAllister's out, I guess. I don't know if you're looking at something else, but that's what my feeling from watching, obviously, the Europa League game and last game, and obviously with Elliot doing that well. I think in one way he could deserve to start as well. It's a tough one.
It is. I feel like we spoke on the Palace game of, like, we had not a great game, but the forward three were starving. They were absolutely starving. They weren't in the game much. Of course, Salah gets the goal. But in terms of like Nunes, Diaz and Salah being in the game, we just, like Palace limited the way we were getting to them quite well, to be fair. But like in this game, we need to get Salah and Diaz running at their fullback straight away. Nunes, if there's space in behind, then crack on, lad. Crack on. Yeah, I agree. I think, Kwanzaa done well. Of course, he gave away the pen, which I thought was a penalty. But I think apart from that, I think in the USG game, he was really good. So, but then I do think Konate comes in. I think because he gets 45, I feel like it's probably just there. Just throw him in for this one, just because he's got the experience. Then Trent and Van Dijk and Tsimikas. Yeah, Gravenberch or Jones. I don't know. I don't know. He might put Jones in. I don't know. But I feel like on current form, I think Gravenberch deserves to start just because of his ability to drive the ball. I think Jones is better at pressing and will press for you more often and quicker. But I think Gravenberch, when you're in possession, I think this is a game where we'll hopefully have loads of possession. He's one that can dribble around, get round you. He can, like, his dribbling ability is ridiculous. I think every time I see him do it, those little jinx, it surprises me every time how good he is at it. So I think even like getting those and getting free kicks around the box where you can allow Trent or Szoboszlai to have a belter from the edge of the box is always, and I think that's why for me, Gravenberch would just get in ahead of Jones. And then I think Endo starts, Szoboszlai starts. I feel like you just got this game, you've just got to go, here's your best 11, throw them out there and then just see what carnage they can cause. Just get them riled up and yeah, I mean, they're, it's probably like the worst thing to say, and Klopp won't be saying anything like this, like they're there for the taking or whatever, but it'll be like, look at the table, look how good we're doing, like, don't worry about them. It's like, just let's get the dust the cobwebs off in terms of like performance in recent games, which isn't even that important. We've still been winning, but in terms of getting the performance levels back up, I just feel like this is like, it's set up perfectly for us to go and to put out your best 11 and just batter them. That's what I'm hoping for anyway.
Yeah, my only concern, to be honest, is, you know, as much as I like Endo, I also think that, you know, he, even today, you know, when we watched the Europa League, it's one of them where you think maybe he's a little bit slow with the ball. And, you know, Crystal Palace as well, he was substituted at half time, if I don't remember wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, this kind of game, even if we're at home, it's just one of them where you need people in midfield with pace on the ball. Like, could it be that he played Curtis Jones in that holding midfield role because he is a little better with the ball, maybe being quicker with the turn, like McAllister usually does. Yeah. Like, he's quicker in mind, he's a little bit quicker with his feet. Or would he try to play, you know, in a different way? Because I don't mind Endo playing together with, say, Gravenberch and Szoboszlai. It's just, I'm a little bit concerned about his recent form in the last couple of games, because I think he's given away opportunities for the opposition. Like, yeah, if we're on the break and they win the ball from him and they go and we're on the way to attack and they win the ball there, it's always dangerous. We saw that against Crystal Palace, and we've seen it in a few games. And I'm not sure that will not benefit us. We need someone who's a little bit more comfortable with the ball, a bit quicker with the ball. And with McAllister's out, I wonder who he might go with. If it doesn't go with Endo, obviously, because I would be a little bit concerned if I saw Endo starting just because of the last couple of games. I don't know about you, but, you know, yeah, how would you mix up the midfield if Endo doesn't start? Who would be that holding? Yeah. Who would have that holding role?
I feel like, yeah, I do think Endo will start, because I feel like this type of game, like I said, I think we'll have most of the ball. I think when we've got it, I think and I agree with you, in like previous games, he hasn't moved it as quickly as he should be, and like just like one touch pass, he's been taking too many. But I feel like it's getting him, the more you play him, I guess he'll get better at that. I feel like that the only way he gets better at that is by playing. So I feel like if you're saying then he doesn't, then yeah, I think you could throw Gomez in at right back and put Trent in there. You could do that. That's definitely an option. Or yeah, there's Jones. You could do. We've had a game where we had Szoboszlai as Jones as like a double pivot, and we changed the formation slightly and went from there. So I mean, there's plenty of options, but I just feel like he will just go Endo back in and just keep the faith of them and yeah, just hope he has a good game, because I think he's had a bit of a like checkered season, I'd say. Like, just like, he's had a few good games, he scored a few good goals, good assists for Szoboszlai's belter against Leicester, and like and progressive passes, he's, when he turns and he's got a bit of space, he's got a great pass on him. But I think it's sometimes in those tighter areas where that team's going to press you, I worry about him a little bit, because he hasn't got the,
he's especially away, obviously.
Yeah, he's not fast enough or strong enough to hold them off or to win it back from there. He's going to give a foul away and stuff. So it's definitely an interesting one, but and we've got options, definitely. But I do just think he's going to go Endo, and if it's not working out again, and hopefully it does, then we can switch it. But like we've seen, like you said, the half time in the Palace game, Endo came off, Gomez came on, and we saw Trent in midfield, so we might see that from the start and see Trent in midfield from the start of a game for once. I don't know. There's plenty of options in there.
Yeah, and, you know, I think Endo's been, you know, it's been different performances from him, but I think that he's, you know, since he came in, I think he's showed that he can play for us, but it depends on, like you said, the game and if it's home or away, because against Crystal Palace, obviously, he was caught many times. And I think, if he plays at home and we got like midfielders like Gravenberch, so it was like obviously carrying the ball forward and being the creative players, and he got more time and space, to actually, you know, be used like it, like we call him like the brick wall wind ball, and give it away to someone who can actually be more creative with it. That's fine with me, obviously, at home in a different kind of situation of a game where you have more time, because he won't be as pressured as he's away from home. So I get that, and I don't think that's a weird shout. So it might be that, but, you know, it's just one of them where you think it would be interesting to see Trent in a midfield role as well, with maybe Gomez to the right, because of the creativity that he brings. But I'm not sure we are actually 100% there yet. I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, in terms of the starting lineup, which we started to discuss, I think, you know, it's going to be obviously the best team that we can put out at the moment. And, you know, I don't really have any concerns that we will give Man United, you know, the toughest time of their lives on Sunday with that team. If they go out, they can give 100% from the start.
Yeah, I think in Endo's defence a little bit, I guess, like McAllister got injured, of course, then Endo came on in the Fulham game. But since then, we had Sheffield United away. He started that one. We've had Palace away. And we've had USG away. So it's all been away games in a row, which, again, is tricky when, again, like he's an experienced player, but he still needs to get used to how we play. And especially when you're playing with, like, especially the USG game, when you're up with loads of young lads and whatever, and you've got to try and he can do better. I think that's clear as day. You can do better in certain situations where he can just take one touch, play it around the side or stuff like that. So I feel like, yeah, I mean, I hope he does play just to kind of keep his levels up. And I think, yeah, well, I mean, we'll see. It's going to be interesting, because there's definitely, like we always say, there's plenty of options, and we can always change it up a little bit if we need to. Yeah, so we come to the best part of the show, the score prediction. What are you thinking?
Easily 7-0.
I was thinking 9, like, what?
Or 10, just to make sure that, you know, we...
10 hard, yeah.
Yeah. Now, seriously, though, it's always a tough one, because I think, you know, when you look back on the 7-0, you probably went like, maybe 3-1, 2-0, you know, that kind of normal. And I don't, you know, you never want to be too carried away, but I do fence us. I say 4-1 Liverpool. I think we score a couple of, we might concede one, but I just say 4-1. Like, they might just get like a, I don't know, daft penalty or a counter-attack which goes their way or whatever, but we'd still outscore them without any problems.
Sound. Yeah, I'm thinking 3-0, to be honest. So we're both going plus three on the goal difference. But yeah, I mean, like I said before, I'd take 1-0, 2-0, easy.
Of course,
If you're offered me it now and it was a definite win, I would absolutely take it. I think similar to like a derby, like an Everton game, where you're like, I don't care, just win the game. I think that we've been shown a lot of just win mentality in recent games where we've not played very well. This one, I would take it. I would like a bit more of performance, just like we've mentioned, all the circumstances of injuries and how they're performing and going out to Champions League, losing to Bournemouth and whatever. They're going to be wanting to strike back, but I feel like we've just got hopefully so much quality. And I think 3-0 would just be like a... I feel like most Man United fans would probably take that right now, to be honest, because they're... I mean, I saw someone saying like, oh, I'd take like a 2-3-0 loss right now. And it's like, how, it's just mad, like how the, like we said,
oh,
like
how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah, how the turntables, like Michael Scott quote. Like, it is glorious when you think like how all them years, like, it was going to Old Trafford and they were coming to Anfield, and it was just like, you're like, oh, I'd just take a draw, just keep a clean sheet and get out there 0-0 and whatever. And now they're like, oh, just batter us 3-0 and leave us alone. Like, just like, just, it's just such a mentality change. And I'm right here for it, which is, I just think it's hilarious. But yeah, if we can win by 3 goals and get that goal difference up a little bit more, then yeah, sweet as a nut. Right, we'll leave it there. That was a pretty short one, I guess, for what is going to be a massive, massive game. But I hope everyone's excited. I'm sure you are, as we're getting closer and closer to kickoff. Whatever you're watching it, whatever you're doing, have a boss time. And yeah, me and Christian shall as well. I'm sure Christian will be getting on the whiskies. I'm sure you'll still be on the whiskies by then, won't you?
Well, it's Sunday. That's the thing. I just want to mention that, because you said that in the start of the show, that, you know, it's a late Sunday kickoff compared to what we used to recently. And even if it's a Sunday, it's such a big game, so people don't mind being a bit hungover on the Monday because it's just one of them games where you're just like, let's just do this, have fucking fun, and then whatever we feel on Monday is another day.
If you win, you doesn't matter.
Exactly, that's the thing. It's another day. It's, you know, it's not before until like until tomorrow. So you know, it's a different time. And I think I'll be the same because it's the last week at work before Christmas holidays. I only work 4 days, so I might have a few whiskeys, I might have a few bevies, and you know, if we win, I don't mind being a little bit rough on a Monday because you know the taste of fucking glory.
Override the hangover.
Yeah, and, exactly, and winning against the Manx, you know, I don't mind my headaches or you know feeling ill or whatever. I take that and just go and have some McDonald's and celebrate. I guess.
Oh, I hope all these dreams come true. I honestly can't wait for it. I mean, of course, the day of the kickoff, like as soon as you wake up, you're like, oh, it's match day. Oh, it's Man United. Yeah. Straight away, the nerves kick in immediately more than any other game. But as soon as it kicks off and if Liverpool start well and get the win, then yeah, it's going to be absolutely boss. But we shall leave it there. Thanks very much to Christian for jumping on. Thanks to everyone. Actually, I need to do the shout out. I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to give a shout out to Jack Design. It's getting closer to the Man United game, which means it's getting closer to Christmas. So if you want to go and get some Boss Christmas stuff, get over to Jack Design's website. It does loads of Boss Liverpool related stuff. So if you want a new, brand new Liverpool mug or a calendar, t-shirt, jumper, there's loads of Adidas Klopp designs on there, which he's brought out recently, which are selling like hotcakes. He puts them on sale at like 6 o'clock and they're gone by 6:01. So if you want to go over and buy some of that stuff for Christmas or for yourself, your nephew, your brother, your dad, whoever you know is a big Liverpool fan, get over to jackdesign.uk/shop and enter the code COPI10 on checkout and you can get yourself 10% off. If you can't remember that website, it's in our link tree and it'll be in the description of the episode, so you can just click on it and then add some stuff to your basket and then put COPI10 on and you get 10% off and you're loving life with 10% off and you've got money in your pocket. Right, now I'll say bye. Thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks to Christian. And yeah, up the fucking Reds. Bring on Sunday and let's hope we batter them Manx. Up the fucking Reds.
I'm Jamie Carragher and you are listening to the COPI podcast.
Podcast Network.